Welcome to the Hereditary Angioedema edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the HAE community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor, reporting today from Ashkelon, Israel, less than 10 miles from the war-torn Gaza Strip. Our guest today is Dr. Avner Reshef, Director of the Angioedema Research Center and Head of Allergy and Immunology Service at Ashkelon's Barzilai University Medical Center. Dr. Reshef is considered a leading expert in hereditary angioedema, known as HAE. He was educated here in Israel and did postgraduate work at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, in allergy and clinical immunology. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Hello, Larry. I'm very happy to meet you, and we'll be ready to answer your questions.
Wonderful. Thank you. So our topic is HAE. Not much is known about the disease. We know it's very rare. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how you got interested in this specific disease and why it's so hard to treat.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was trained in internal medicine and later on specialized in allergy and clinical immunology. And one of the topics included in the profession is also the angioedema syndromes. Hereditary angioedema is one of many syndromes that are exhibited by recurrent and severe attacks of swelling. I became interested in this because I had some Israeli patients who came to me in my allergy practice, and I had to somehow get deeper into this. And this is how I became, aficionado of this particular rare disease. It was discovered in 1882 by Heinrich Quinke, a German physician. Later on in the 19th century, there were some descriptions by William Osler also in 1889 or so. But only in the 70s of the 20th century, the real mechanism of the disease was discovered, and also the genetic prediction of the disease was also revealed.
What has been the history of treatment? I mean, it's believed to affect about 150,000 people worldwide, from what we understand. And because it's hereditary, a child has a 50% chance of inheriting the disease if either parent has it.
Yes, exactly. It's an autosomal dominant disease. Therefore, the chance of a child or a children of a affected person is about 50%, although the penetrance of the disease is not so equal. I have families, like one family with 13 members, out of which 8 are already affected. And we have families with 5 children whom only one is affected. So we can never know. But of course, the chance is very high. And in Israel, at least, we estimate that we have close to 300 patients only. Israel is a small country, 9.5 or so million people. And due to a high awareness of physicians in centers like mine, Israeli patients are very well taken care of. I'm going to expand a little bit about the treatment if you like to hear about it.
Yes, so we understand also the disease is potentially fatal if swelling occurs in the throat.
Yeah, it used to be fatal. If you read some historical reports, in the old times, about a third of the patients died because of suffocation. And in addition, there's one aspect that has to be looked into, and this is recurrent abdominal pains, attacks of very, very severe abdominal pains, for which about 50% of the patients in the past has been operated because they could not differentiate conditions, surgical conditions from attacks of angioedema.
So what exactly causes the disease?
Well, the disease is a missing component of the complement system. Complement system is involved in immunological reactions and also in fighting bacteria and viruses. In this case, there's a missing inhibitor. It's a special enzyme that inhibits the actions of several, like four systems, the kinin system, the contact system, coagulation and fibrinolysis, and also the complement. So it's a ubiquitous inhibitor, and when missing, all the activities of these systems may become higher and goes further to produce a certain chemical called bradykinin. And it's quite different from allergic diseases where histamine is the active chemical mediator. Here, bradykinin is produced by the tissue and causes local swelling due to leaking of vessels or hyperpermeability of the vessels, tissue vessels like in the arms, in the extremities, and also in the abdomen, in the larynx, the tongue, and everywhere actually. And there's no prediction. You cannot predict how an attack may develop.
I see. Now, last year, a little over a year ago, in February of 2023, the FDA approved Takhzyro, developed by Takeda, to treat this disease. And it's a subcutaneous injection therapy. And this was approved to prevent attacks in children 2 to 12 years old. Have you treated patients with
the
drug?
Sure. We have about 50 of our patients already treated by lanadelumab, Takhzyro.
Mm-hmm.
I have to mention that there's another prophylactic drug called Orladio. It's an oral drug that should be taken every day.
What drug is that?
Orladio or berotralstat. And this medication is also targeting the same enzyme, kallikrein. But the difference is that Orladio has to be taken every day, and lanadelumab can be injected every 2 weeks, so sometimes every 3 weeks. And this is a great step towards maintaining the disease by giving treatment that avoids any kind of emergency room visits and all emergency situations where the patients may end up choking or having very severe abdominal pains.
And it was originally approved in 2018 to prevent attacks in patients 12 years or older, right?
Yes, there's some data about the safety and the efficacy of children between 2 and 12. We have very limited experience with this treatment, but so far this treatment proved safe. I mean, lanadelumab, Takhzyro. It wasn't tested for children. Berotralstat wasn't tested for children. Actually, we are now doing clinical studies for the last 2.5 years with another agent called garadacimab. And this agent can be given once a month, every 4 weeks, which makes it much easier for the patients.
Can you talk about that? How many patients are involved?
Well, I cannot extend on a number of patients, but we have quite high attendance, and patients are really happy with this treatment. Patients that are included in such a study had to have at least 2 attacks per month in order to be qualified. So it means patients with frequent attacks. And I can only say, it's been already published. I was the second author of a study in The Lancet that was published about exactly a year ago about garadacimab. So there are many, many companies. I'm surprised myself that about seven or eight companies are already developing and testing new drugs and new avenues of treatment for such a rare disease.
Just a question, the lanadelumab, are these injections that patients can give themselves at home?
Sure. In the last 15 years or so, there's a trend that makes the patients autonomous. So it's not only with lanadelumab, but also with the acute treatment, on-demand treatment like icatibant, which already saved many lives because patients are trained to inject themselves at home. And even if they have an attack in the throat, a laryngeal attack, they can inject themselves and then go to emergency room for further follow-up. So this train of making patients much more autonomous, much more responsible for their attacks, already changed the scene of angioedema, and we rarely see patients who were suffocated or were in a danger of dying because of the disease.
Wonderful. Just as an aside, I can't help but ask you, the location where we are right now, we're literally minutes from a major war, which has been going on for 5 months and does not seem to show any sign of dying down. How has that affected your operations here at the hospital? I mean, you're underground, two levels underground. How has that affected treatment, clinical trials, etc.?
Well, we are running a clinic here for allergy cases and immunology and also angioedema. And of course, in the first 2 or 3 weeks, we were not operative. But since this this place is very, very secure and actually built for the purpose of in time of war, we started and opened up our clinic very soon. The main problem in the beginning, the first weeks, were the commuting. A patient had to travel here, and they were afraid of rocketing Israel. South and even center of Israel was under very, very heavy rocketing, which was decreased to almost nothing recently.
Right. Just as a last question, since we're running a bit out of time, what is the prognosis for continued new therapies for HAE?
Okay, there's several directions now. The main treatment in the 60s or so was supplementation. People were given intravenous injections of plasma-derived C1 inhibitor, which is the main missing enzyme that was extracted from human plasma, from blood donations. And now the new drugs are attacking or targeting certain steps in the cascade of enzymatic cascade, and the drugs are based on monoclonal antibodies, which is much safer and can be given in larger intervals. In the future, and it's already happening, there are two clinical studies that do some gene therapy, which means that maybe in the near future we'll be able to switch the patients from having like 50% C1 inhibitor activity to more than 50% just by switching off the mechanism and switching on the DNA or the genes that can start or make the body produce more C1 inhibitor. So instead of supplementing it from the outside, a person will start producing himself the missing enzyme, and that may solve the problem.
Incredible. So gene therapy is actually a potential avenue for treatment.
It's not
someday.
Only potential, it's happening already. There are all kinds of techniques. One of them, or probably the main one, is to use a vector, adenovirus.
AAV.
Yeah. adenovirus. And actually, the adenovirus was somehow, let's say, changed to insert a certain missing gene into the human DNA in the liver or somewhere else, and then the body starts producing the enzyme. The problem is, of course, that this kind of approach is actually infecting you with a virus, but the virus is inactivated,
right,
like in many cases of vaccines. So this technique is already in development, and there are some clinical studies. One of them is by a very good friend of mine, Hilary Longhurst from New Zealand. You can read the literature, and there's already publications about this futuristic approach.
Incredible, as long as the patient doesn't have antibodies.
Well,
for that particular virus.
Yes. Well, yes, that's a very, very good question. I guess they are working around it somehow to make the virus not recognized by the immune system, and somehow to circumvent the immune system and be able to insert this little piece of gene into our system and activate the part that we cannot, or someone cannot do because of his genetic background.
Thank you so much. We've been talking with Dr. Avner Reshef, who is director of the Angioedema Research Center at Ashkelon's Barzilai University Medical Center here in Israel. Thank you for listening.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.